Hey there. How are you today? My name's Dana Demara. You have landed on Soul Medicine. I want to just offer up a few administrative items before we begin our deep dive into this podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you for being here. I'm so grateful. So first, for you yogis out there, always thank you for joining me. Because you are a loyal listener and you're interested in yoga, meditation, breath work, and sound healing, I'm offering you a gift just for listening. I've been at this practice of yoga for over 2 decades now, and in 2020, I created my own portal of full healing modalities. I would love for you to try it out for 2 weeks on me. Yes, on me. Just go to danademarayoga.com. Put in your email address and you receive instant access to live virtual classes and a library of over 300 recorded classes of days gone by. This is my gift for you. Thank you. Those of you interested in astrology, if you go to myastrocast.com, you'll get a mini speed course on astrology. This little course will give you a general overview of astrology. However, if you thirst for more, every week I host a podcast on YouTube all about the weekly astrological outlook. It's free, and if you subscribe on YouTube, the update will come right to you. Just look for me on YouTube. You can't miss it. One more thing I think you may want to know. I do update my website often. I do my best, and I send out newsletters weekly. Sometimes more than once a week. So if that's your jam, go to my website and subscribe to my newsletters. Just go to danademara.com, put in your email address in the little pop-up there, and you'll get emails from me. Now here's the deal about emails. You're going to get emails. If something doesn't resonate, just delete it. But don't unsubscribe. Okay? I do want to say this about my website, though. It still is very static info, right? So if you are an Instagram person and you want daily musings, free meditations, early morning practices, find me on Instagram at Dana Demara Evolution. It's also my Facebook handle. However, I don't really post very much there. It's odd to me that we need so many channels. So I would say find one that works for you, and I'll meet you there. Of course, for those of you who live here in Encinitas, California, I do host weekly classes in person, sound healing and breathwork sessions right here in SoCal. So I would say just check my website at danademarayoga.com and you'll be able to find all the info you need. Nice little calendar there. Sometimes we practice on the bluff. Sometimes we're practicing at different locations in and around Encinitas and La Costa, but I would love to see you somewhere on this path. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're invited to learn and listen with me. Take a moment to ground in, breathe, and give yourself a moment of stillness. I want to say thank you to Beautiful Chorus for this beautiful intro. It's called The Opening. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.
All right, welcome back. I am here with Dr. Sarah Rothman, my friend and colleague, and I'm so excited to have her on the show again. I've had Dr. Sarah Rothman on here a lot of times in the past to talk a little bit about hormones and, breath work and things of this nature. And we decided the other day to actually just yesterday to co-lead this retreat in Todos Santos on women's leadership and what women's leadership means to the both of us. And it was funny because when I brought up, hey, do you want to do this retreat? I can't even believe that I hadn't thought about it until now. It was a hard yes for both of us. And I think it's because both of us really come from the same space of what women's leadership means to us. So we're going to have a conversation today about women in leadership. I no idea where this conversation is going to go. No idea at all. Women empowerment. I think one thing I want to say is that right out of the get-go is that right out of the gates is that neither one of us believe or even subscribe to this whole idea of women empowerment, women being empowered, putting down men, or anything that creates a sense of I'm better than you, or I can be as good as you, while we're bringing the male gender down. We don't want to, that's neither one of us believes in that. Both of us believe in balance. Balancing the masculine and the feminine. But I just want to put that out there in the very beginning. And I want to talk just a little bit about women leadership. And I'd love to hear from you, Sarah, just kind of what that looks like, or even why you decided to agree to do this talk with me.
Thank you. I'm so happy and honored to be here again. And the first thing that comes to head and heart when you ask that is collaboration, right? Like it's funny because we think of leadership as this like one person or somebody or several people on a pedestal. And I really think leadership, especially women's leadership, is about collaboration and about, yes, like owning our own power and our own gifts and our own medicine that we bring, and also honoring that in every woman or every person, specifically on this retreat, we're honoring that in women. And I really do believe that's the core of it, right? That like we can't do this alone. We don't want to do this alone. It is about the village, as like cliche and cheesy as that sounds. It is necessity. It is life force, right? The frequency and the tangible action that we can take as leaders, to me, is really about the group frequency and group action.
The group frequency, I like that, and I do agree with you. So let's just explore this idea of collaboration in regards to women in leadership and women's leadership. So when I created the or put out there this, we'll just name it the retreat. For me, it was really born on the idea that I have so many women in my circles that are really powerful, and I find that they fall into most of them fall into two categories. One is they're like solopreneurs almost, and they're working, 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 and they work so hard because they have this vision and they're not really sure how to delegate, right? And so they just kind of burn themselves out. And then on the other side, I have these other women who are so good at delegating, and they may have experienced extreme success, but they've lost themselves along the way because they've delegated so much that they're, well, wait, this isn't really the path that I wanted. And I find that in order to find that balance, there needs to be that sense of collaboration. There needs to be this, I look at it like this. If I have this great business idea of what I'll just use my business, if I want to do my business together, or if I'm putting together a new creative idea, or even with the retreat, I can look at it and I can say, wow, I can do all of these things on my own. This is so, I do this in my sleep. But when I think about women leadership and a women's leadership retreat, or even embodying that sense of women's leadership, the idea for me is like, are you kidding? Why would I want to do this by myself? There's so many things that I'm good at, but that someone else can come in and share their gifts. I don't want to be the person that carries everything. And I think for me, that's looking at someone like you. I'll just use you as this example with the retreat. I love teaching breath work, but dang, I really love watching you and your power when you share breath work, because it's magical, magical. And so to say, oh my God, I want people to know about this woman. Like, I want everyone to know about Sarah. So for me, that's like a huge leadership. It's not even just collaboration. What can we do together? But it's like, oh my gosh, I see this beautiful gift in this human. I could do that on my own, but I want to bring her in. I want to, here, girl, take your seat at the table. That so that that's kind of how I another way I view it. How do you feel?
Oh, I love it. It brings tears. First of all, thank you. It like cracks my heart wide open, and really, like, I'm about to cry. And I completely agree. I think that we were talking a little bit before, lifting each other up and holding each other, and like bringing awareness to other women about the gifts within them, right? Being a reflection, being a mirror, and especially working with women who are already in a position of entrepreneurship, or running their own business, or in leadership. Like these, me too, a lot of my clients are like strong, powerful, amazing women who hold a lot of masculine energy, a lot of feminine energy, and can do, oh my goodness, can like create such and are creating such amazing and potent change in the world. And everybody needs the back of their heart held, right? And everybody, it's a gift to everybody to also hold other people's hearts, right? And I think lifting each other up and being lifted up is such a important, essential piece in leadership in this world, and in all of the transitions and changes that are happening in this world. And so yes, that resonates deeply, everything you just spoke about. I mean, even in my practice, what was also coming through is in my practice, and we've talked about this before, is like often people will come and be like, okay, you're the doctor, tell me what to do. And like, yes, that has been my life's work. And I have like education, institutional training in it, and embodied life wisdom in it. And nobody is going to know their body well enough as the person that's sitting across from me, right? And so often in my practice, it is a collaboration, right? It is like lifting other up, or holding space for the woman or the person to find their own healing. And it's the same in all paths of life, and some people won't come to see me because of that. If I'm not just, because I will say straight up, I'm not going to tell you how to heal, how your body's going to heal, because you're going to know your body better than anybody else, right? And to me, that's part of leadership, honoring the medicine and the power and the knowing, the wisdom. Like, isn't that one of your programs, embodied wisdom, right? Like knowing, like reflecting or mirroring or holding space for others to really shine in their wisdom and in their medicine and in their gifts.
Well, I want to go back to something. I love that. And I want to go back to something that you said. You said it part of it is lifting each other up, but another part of it is actually allowing ourselves to be held. I think and I had a question come through, but I want to finish this and then ask the question. I feel like we oh, I can do it on my own. Oh, I can do it. I can do it. I know I got it. I got it. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I even went and did this event with another super powerful woman. And when I said, I'm here for 2 days to support you. Tell me what I can do to support you. And there was a hesitation to allow oneself to be supported. And I wonder sometimes what you think. I would love to know your thoughts around why you think, or why you feel, I should say, that sense of imbalance comes, or maybe there's a, I need to do it all, or no, I can do it on my own, or what, or whatever that imbalance is that creates the resistance around collaborating or co-creating.
That's interesting. I mean, what's coming through and what's true for me personally is really embodying the full capacity of receiving, right? Like, that's been a lot of my life's work so far. Giving, I feel like I'm overflowing with giving energy, like time, love, and fully receiving. Or when you said that women hesitated, especially the women who are in leadership and have been holding both the feminine and the masculine energy, which we all have, right? But kind of a lot of the masculine in the doing, it is sometimes more challenging to allow others to come in and do, although it's what some of us like need and long for the most, right? And to a lot of people that in my circles, clients, friends, colleagues, especially powerful, badass, I hope that's okay that I just swore a little women, aren't used to it, right? It's a lot of this kind of like drive to do, or desire to do and do it all and be it all, right? And hold it all. Like, a lot of that is deep, deep, like in women. Like, we are holders, all of us, right? Like, and holding space is also a gift, that is receiving, right? And being held needs to be in that balance, right? And for a lot and for a lot of us it is. And I think a lot of women don't even realize or know how to be fully held, you know?
I think in an idea there, when you talk about how it's deep, I just think generational, right? So, I remember being younger and having my mom say to me, "Now you get out there and you do these things," because when I was your age, I didn't have the same opportunities. If you think about like women's rights and just, anything to talk to any feminist about our rights and our voice and all of that. And it's kind of a new thing if you look back in history. Like, it's not that old. So there's been those certain pioneers that have come through and been these leaders in time, but there's always been this, there still is this, I don't want to say fight, but there still is this struggle, an undercurrent of struggle in some circles for women to have a voice. And it's an unfortunate truth. And I feel like when I run into or work with women who have been in those circles, who maybe who have come from, I'll just say it, corporate America, right? If they've come from corporate America, they've had to work really hard to get where they are. They've had to be in their masculine. When I work with single moms like myself, I've had to be in my masculine for however long, unwillingly most of the time. And so I feel like when women are in that mode, whether they're from corporate America or their upbringing or, the environment that they're in, whatever the environment is, it's almost like a reprogramming has to happen. This reprogramming of there's enough. There's absolutely enough. I am enough. And if I actually allow this other person the gift of supporting me, right? Because that's what they want to do. Now all of a sudden it's created this sense of complete cohesiveness, not just in that relationship, but also in the universe. It sent this ripple out of like, oh, look at that, Dina and Sarah, they're going to work together. Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay. And then there goes the little ripple. That's just an example. I feel like this whole generational thing has created, and just, I don't know, our society, the way that leadership is or has been offered up, is a top-down hierarchy, and it's been that way forever, forever. And I won't even talk about, has there been men in charge and all that. I could, but we'll just say there's been a hierarchy, which a hierarchy is extremely masculine. Hierarchy is systems and structures and all of that, where if you just break down the hierarchy and create this flow of cohesiveness, some people don't know how to handle that because it's so fluid. There isn't a benchmark. It's just, oh wow, this really feels good. Let's do this. And I feel like that emotional, oh, this feels right, or that intuitive, or that sense of, oh wow, this feels right, let's do this. It doesn't have any place in the old standards of not women's leadership. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. It makes sense. And I think the like can do it is very different. Like we have to put, yeah, you can do it all and you don't have to, right? Like I was just at a gathering called Spirit Weavers. It's hundreds, maybe even 1,000 women, a gathering, and so empower, like all about this, right? All about like the circle and holding each other up and holding each other in wherever anybody is at. And I was there with a few friends, and there was one friend with a brand new baby, and there she had this little pack of two or three other women that had come with her and were just like her village, you know, like walking around with her as her village, holding baby, bringing a chair, a sheepie down to the beach, and just like it almost brought tears, you know, because a lot of what was coming up for me is like, I wish everybody had this. Every woman had this village. That is how it is in a lot of the world. And you know, that's speaking particularly to birthing a new baby, right? But kind of applying that concept to leadership, right? To our offerings, to our service in the world, to our work, right? To the workplace, whatever that means, but like bringing that same concept of like, okay, all of these women are surrounding to help raise this baby. And can we bring that to all, can all of these women be around to support this woman in her power, in her leadership role, you know?
I also feel, I think about, of course, I always relate it back to the astrology, always. And in January of 2020, we had that, what we call in astrology, the Great Conjunction. And the Great Conjunction was, these five, six planets all clustered together on a full moon lunar eclipse. And I knew that something was going to happen. I just didn't know what it was. And with that astrology, it really, when you look at the essence of the astrology of the Great Conjunction, it really was to break down the old hierarchies, the old systems, and the old structures. And you saw what happened after that. Everything was just exposed of like, wow, this is really an imbalance of power. And there's an imbalance of just an imbalance of power. I mean, just period. In so many structures of our society. And when we look at, just to name a few, if we look at the political structures, the political systems, the medical system, the educational system, the banking system, we look at these certain systems that we have in place, and they're created with a very masculine energy. That's not a man energy, that's a masculine energy, where there's a bottom line, there's a system, there's a structure, there's a hierarchy. Well, that's gotten us to a certain point. And now, I mean, astrologically speaking, all of that has been starting to crumble since then. And now we're finally starting to see these new and emerging ways of collaborating and co-creating and creating connection. And that's the other thing I want to talk about with women leadership. But I just, I really want to point out that I feel like, and I'd love to hear your thoughts too, this, the whole structure of systems and how they are shifting. And are you experiencing that? And can you equate that to a more feminine way of being, not even using the word women leadership, but a more feminine way of being?
Thank you so much. It's funny. Like, I feel like you're reading my thoughts and my heart, because it is the solution isn't bringing the masculine ways into female leadership, right? Like, I see a lot of women, and you said the same thing in my practice and in my life, my friends and my colleagues and people I look up to and respect, these amazing, powerful women, still kind of leading in that hierarchical way, in that kind of like more masculine way. And I think like softening, receiving, allowing ourselves to be held and holding simultaneously in a collaborative way is hopefully the way of leadership, right?
I like the idea of a collaborative container, like having that collaborative container of women coming together, or just people coming together in a more feminine structure, because that's really what we're talking about. When we talk about women leadership, sure, we can talk about women in leadership. I mean, right away, I think of Emily Wright, one of the co-founders of doTERRA. And I remember listening to her talk at the convention, and she was talking about how, when she looked back on some of the pictures from when they first started doTERRA, she would still wear her, blue suit and her white shirt and her very masculine way of being, sitting around with the other men of the corporation. And somebody, I don't remember the whole story, but someone pointed it out to her, and she said, I feel like I need to bring in that sense of femininity, that softening. That's why I'm here. And then, she talked about bringing in her way of being in a more feminine role, not a submissive role, I think sometimes we equate that feminine role to submissiveness, or, a back seat, or more of a receiving and a listening and a compassionate and a, how can we connect and how can we co-create and how can we collaborate with other individuals and societies and cultures in order to grow this business. And you can see the progression of how she looks in the group photos when that change was made. She's got on a beautiful flowy dress and she's got on color. And she said, when that shift happened, the whole company changed. And I thought that's so incredible, because it's not about being better than, it's about adding something different to the mix that actually creates that cohesiveness and balance.
Beautiful. And like diversity, right? Bringing in different gifts, different hearts, different minds, like coming together. There's so much power in that, so much power and gorgeousness that can come out of that, out of like many hearts versus one heart, or many minds versus one heart. It sounds so cliche, and it's so true, Yeah. And I think really emphasizing, this isn't just like the balance between masculinity and femininity, and in each one of us, and cohesively in a group, in men, women, however anybody identifies as gender, right? Yeah. I think it's so important to weave in all of it, because tangible, we often associate the masculine with doing, with holding, and with action, right? And the feminine with surrendering and trust and flow and ease, and we need both of those things in balance for optimal leadership, right? And I don't think it's just both of those things. I think there's many like tendrils and roots, right? I talk about it in medicine a lot. Often it's not one root, it's lots of different roots and tendrils coming in. And I think it's the same thing in leadership, right? It's not just like one big tall tree. It's all of the roots and all of the systems and structures beneath the soil that keep that tree alive, and the plants around it, and the plants or the fungus living on the tree, right? Like, I don't know, I'm going off on a tangent here.
but you have a really good point, because, and I want to make sure I put this out there as well. I said it in the beginning about this not being about men or women. It's not about any gender. It's an energy that's held in the body. So when we say women leadership, we can say women in leadership. We can say that, but that's not really it. Mm-hmm. It's that sense of complete Shakti feminine energy, regardless of gender. How are we treating one another? How are we softening? How are we holding each other up? How are we allowing someone to take the center stage? How are we allowing someone to offer their gifts? How are we listening? And the other one is, how are we connecting? That was my other point with women leadership. You know, it's this idea of connection, actually having a connection to that client, that colleague, that coworker. You know, where is the connection? Where's the connectivity, instead of just someone being a number or a part of a system? And I think that's more the point that I really wanted to try to make, is that idea of femininity and that feminine energy as tendrils running through, not just, you talk about the, you know, the trees and the plants and stuff, but how can we emulate that in a small business, in a corporation, in friendships? Like, how does that work? You know,
mm-hmm. And you know, I'm hopeful because we're seeing it, all of these like collectives and collaboratives and groups working and playing and being together, and circles, women's circles, men's circles, like children's circles. You know, we talked a little bit about the Barbie movie. I don't know if you want to bring that up. Funny, I took my daughter, really wanted to see it. I have an 11-year-old. I brought her. She's kind of like moving into that. She's a tweenager, you know. And afterwards, I asked her, I said, so Naya, what did you get from that? Like, what really stood out from you? She was like, Mom, it's about girl power, you know. And I'm hoping she took that or saw it in like all, as girl power is these women coming together. There's a lot of layers to the movie. I don't know. Like, okay. Want to go into that? And
yeah.
But you know, if what she took from it was girl power is women coming together and working together and honoring the differences and strengths and gifts in each one of them, like, yay, you
right
know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely have mixed feelings, and every time I think about the movie, because I just saw it the other day, every time I think about it, there's something else that comes up for me, like, oh, wait a minute, I need to question that, you know? But I think like you said, if you can pull that one tendril from there, is like women and coming together to support one another. There's so many other pieces to it that I'm not completely in agreement with, but we'll save that for another podcast.
The Barbie movie podcast.
Yeah. There's a whole like conversation. But for that one, we should have callers call in, is what we should have. But I think the biggest thing when I think about women's leadership is, like, honestly, I am in the shower and I'm washing my hair, and I have this divine thought that comes through, and it says, Sarah needs to come to the Todos Santos retreat. And I didn't even question it. So, and then what did I do? I just called you right away. And mm-hmm. I feel like that, it's almost like that feminine, we can even call it feminine leadership instead of women leadership. Then it's even more clear, right? So feminine leadership is about, you know, listening to that divine call, connecting on an intuitive, heart-centered way, and co-creating and holding each other up and collaborating based on what comes through as a divine intention, instead of, you know, the, well, what is that going to do to this? And what is that going to do to that? And having the, you know, outlines and the templates all ready to go. Like, that's not to me, that's not feminine leadership. In fact, I wish we could redo this whole podcast and go back and replace feminine for women, because that's really what we're talking about here.
Oh, I love that. Yes. And you know, what's coming through a lot, and this comes in often when we're talking about masculinity, femininity, and how the energies are woven together, is that figure eight symbol, yep. You know? Yeah, the other piece, as you were speaking, I was like, as when you asked me to come in on this retreat, I was like, yes, full body yes. And you were like, wait, think about it a little bit. I'll send you a video with details. And I was like, of course, I'm going to watch the video and think about it a little bit. But also my whole body knows that it's a full body yes, right? Just from like trusting who you are, trusting how we can collaborate and bring this into a very beautiful, magical space was like an absolute yes for me. And of course I did all the to-dos afterwards, and but I didn't need that, right? Trusting.
And that's a feminine way of being. And I think that's just gotten lost in translation in many ways, shapes and forms in our society. And again, I could go off on a tangent, you know, for me, it starts in the educational system, you know, where it's just it's a rough masculine way of an auditory way of learning. That's, you know, when we talk about traditional education, it's not the way kids learn. And yet they have to fit that box. Like, that's extremely masculine to me, is fitting that box. And again, not men, not women, it's fitting in a box. And that sense of, well, how do you feel about that? How does that make you feel? And what do you really feel? And what's your intuition tell you? That's squashed. That's like gone immediately, unless you go to an alternative way of learning, you know?
So in a lot of businesses, like it's the same thing, right? It's like in a lot of these big corporations and institutions and structures and systems, it's like, intuition and that inner wisdom, that knowing, is like comes afterwards. Okay, after all the structure and the to-dos, and does this make rational sense, right? And both of those things are important in leadership, absolutely. And I think like trust in leadership, intuition in leadership, is absolutely as important as the masculine energies. We need the masculine energies too, right? We need to like do our books and like know if it's going to make sense and have structure and have a container, right? Like, we need all of that as well, and honoring that as well, and really bringing the trust and intuition into the leadership space too, honoring that as much as we honor the other aspects of leadership.
I think this retreat is going to be amazing. I'm already like rethinking some of the workshops that I had planned, and like, we could do a whole workshop on what we just talked about, like feminine leadership. What does that look like to you? How are you experiencing it? Like, so many things, just having the two of us together really coming through super clear. And of course, that's the masculine in me. Like, okay, what can we do with the information? And now I'm learning still at 50 some years old to let it sit for a minute. Just sit with it. Because in that sitting and the doing nothing and the empty presence, there's everything. What I found.
Feeling into the energy. And this is one of the things I love and respect about you so much. You know, like, you have so much fire, and you're this amazing, wise leader, right? Amazing businesswoman, whatever that means, right? But like, at the same time, I remember on our last retreat even, right? Like, we had this whole thing planned, and then like 5 minutes before the class, you're like, like, let's go with the energy. And we just kind of like went with our intuition, and that's what needed to happen in that space, you know. And I love that about you, and I think that's what brings such integrity and honesty and potency into everything you do. As a friend, as a leader, as a teacher, you fully embody that, so thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. I received that. I receive that. Thank you. It's a practice, isn't it? And I think we need to be in that space of allowing ourselves to ground so that we can listen, because there's been plenty of times where we both, I'll speak for me, where I've been completely ungrounded and not able to hear what's coming through. You know, I think that sense of grounding is really important. That grounding is very masculine. We need to ground and ground and okay, I'm here. I'm in this body. I'm connected to earth. I'm connected to sky. What's coming through? Now allow it to come through. And I think that's really important to learn how to do right away so that we just aren't on autopilot. And I feel like that autopilot is, oh, so easy to get into now. And it's just getting easier and easier to fall into it. And I want to do everything I can to not fall into those traps. You know what I'm saying?
Same. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited to do this with you. And I do think we should have a Barbie movie podcast. I think we should talk about it. Because it's a layered story. So maybe we'll talk about that after and we'll figure out when we can do that. But I do want to say, are you complete?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good. I wanted to just say thank you so much for coming on to the show. And I also want to say to you and to anyone else listening, you know, many, 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 many prayers for your sweet island of Maui. You know, I'm almost going to cry and I'm not even there, you know, at these fires. And I just pray that, you know, sending you and everybody in your small circles and your big circles on that little island, just all the prayers and all the love for swift healing and support.
Thank you. And that's even as you're speaking, that is one place, like when there is, chaos or trauma, or you know, like this is, I'm seeing it a lot in the community here, the weaving of the masculine and the feminine energies, right? Sending prayers like you just did and blessings, that I believe, I think you believe too, can bring the rains, right? Can help slow the winds or calm the winds, and tangible action, you know, like bringing pillows and clothing and meals to the shelters and to the people that are doing the work, right? Like we need a balance of both. Yeah,
we do. We do. And I'm really excited to do this retreat with you. And I just love our friendship. I love our connection. I'm so grateful to you. You embody this feminine wisdom as well. And I can't wait to see you again. So I want to say thank you. If you want to get a hold of Dr. Sarah, her information is posted in the verbiage of the podcast, but she is on Instagram as
at Dr. Sarah N. Ruffman.
And there's, yeah, and it's just Dr. Sarah with an H and with no E, Rothman.
With an E.
Oh, it is with an E. Okay, sorry. Dr. Sarah N. Ruffman on Instagram, and then also her website, but it'll be posted in the verbiage. And I just love you. Thank you so much, honey.
Thank you so much. So grateful and honored and excited to be part of the magic with you.
Thank you, honey. Have a good day.
You too.